And you have your Bibles. We ask if you would join us here in the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians. For today, we're looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to join at verse 4. If you've been able to find it, just say amen. We'll go ahead and read together. This is what the scriptures say. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And for today, our subject will be Christian artillery. Christian artillery. Let us look to the Lord, eternal God. We bless you and we thank you again for allowing us to see another day. We thank you again, God, for how you kept us last night while we were sleeping in our bed. And as the old church deacon would say, we arrived at a modicum of sleep where we didn't know if we were alive or dead. But early this morning, Lord, in spite of what the thief and the robber tried to do, we know that we were not kept safe because the locksmith had made a perfect lock. We know that we were not kept safe in our homes because the glass blower had blown perfect windows. But last night you allowed your angels of mercy to encamp themselves all around us. And then early this morning you touched us with your finger of love, and you allowed our days to roll on again. And somehow, God, we ran out of yesterday's mercy, and you understood that the trials of today, the circumstances of today, would require a brand new type of mercy. And so, Lord, we thank you because we know it's not because of our own goodness nor our faithfulness that we are here today. It is because your mercies are brand new each and every morning, and your compassion for us fails not. Therefore, we are not consumed, and great is your faithfulness. We thank you again, God, that we are breathing and for the chance to hear your word. Our only petition, Lord God, is asked now as I come before these people, God, the sheep of your pasture, is that you would anoint me afresh. Lord God, I am a man of unclean lips, and I come from a people of unclean lips. Won't you now hide me behind the cross of your Son, Jesus Christ? As a songwriter said, on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. It was the emblem of suffering and of shame. But I still love that old cross, because on it the dearest and the best for a world of lost sinners was slain. We ask all of this in the mighty name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Good afternoon, my brothers and my sisters, and good afternoon, I'll say. We still have about an hour in the morning. First, giving honor to God, who is first and foremost in my life, and to his Son, Jesus Christ, who was crucified on an old rugged cross so that we might go free, and to the Holy Spirit, who is leading and guiding us each and every day. To, again, my brothers in ministry, these fine preachers and pastors, I say good morning to you, to each and every one of these young ladies who have been glued together to these preachers and pastors, I say hello to you and to my own wife, Sister Michelle Rogers. I say hello to you one more time. She's looking better and better every single day. Y'all watch out now. It's getting hot in here. It's good to see you. To these laymen, these evangelists, these apologists, these members of this church, and I said that last time I was with you that we would figure this out, but I'm finding out that it's being figured out more and more each and every single day. God has been good to us. He has truly been good to us. Is that all right? Is that a reason to say hallelujah? He's been good. He's been good to us. He's been kind to us. He's been merciful. But I need to read these scriptures with you again from 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 6. This is what the Spirit of the Lord says. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am absent, rather present, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. But though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God toward the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Also, my brother and my sister, from Luke chapter 27, verses 27 to chapter 6, verses 27 to 38. I just bring you this one scripture. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them that which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them that despitefully use you. Also from Romans chapter 12, verses 20 and 21. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil by doing good. Also, as Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, the scripture says, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, said the Lord of hosts. Church family, I'm coming to you today in order to set a few things absolutely straight. Is that all right with you? Oh, yes, we have to do this, and it has to be done today. Right now, immediately. This is why I asked my brother elders and preachers here to allow me to come back to you this week instead of in the future. We'll be traveling. God has been good to us. My wife and I are the owners of a couple of collector cars. If you see somebody driving through Manassas Park, Fairfax, going vroom, vroom, it was her. But God has been good, and we're traveling. On May the 7th, we'll be in Outer Banks, in the Outer Banks, down by Kitty Hawk, Kill Devil Hills. If you guys know the area, we have some friends down there, and they're holding a giant Pro Street muscle car show. Yeah. You know we got to be there. It's her. It's her. It's not me. And so we're going down there. So I asked these preachers, these elders, if they would allow me to come to you today. Somehow, we say somehow, right? The world outside of this place has confused and misinterpreted the methodology, the modus operandi of the believer, and have taken what seems to be kindness, silence, and perhaps even reservation for weakness. Am I right? But I want to talk to you today about Christian artillery. I'm praying that this works for you. I'm praying that it's all right. I want to say this, and I want to say it clearly, that even in a world in a world where we have been attacked, in a secular world in which we live, we have the awareness and have been warned to bring the right implements, tools, and weapons into conflict. Y'all still here with me? You haven't left yet, and I can say a few things. You've heard it said, don't bring a knife to a gunfight. You've heard that. Some have said that there's more than one way to skin a cat. You've heard that. Others have said, and you guys have even watched a television show, different strokes for different folks. Is that all right? It was wonderful. What's the matter with you, Willis? But I want to say to you that in a time when our own nation has forgotten its own debt to the nations from whom peoples were stolen, that sovereignty and the right of its own citizens to judge and to make laws for themselves are part and parcel to its own experience. Did we say that too fast for you guys? Yes, I say this in a time when intersectionality, critical race theory, the pressures to enforce LGBT on the world, social credit scores, ERP, and diversity. I got it right. That was a Freudian slip. Diversity and inclusion are strangling the democracy that we have to death, and driving us to global socialism. It's time for Christian artillery. Am I right, somebody? I want to get this clear. We are in a fight. We are at war, and many of us don't even recognize it. Even now, while we're standing here, while the name of God and of his Christ have become bywords, the church seems to be asleep, or at least lethargic. And so the name of God is not being represented or respected as it should. We are finding that more and more the things of God, his worship, his word, his spirit, his praise, and his house are being parodied everywhere. Are y'all with me? Praise the Lord. Yet we remain largely unaware and unenergized to engage ourselves in Christian warfare. We are too busy. We are too intertwined into the world to even begin to bother. But someone believes that I came to church today for a different reason. Let me inform you that I came for this reason. I've come, as our dear brother Paul has said it at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this world's darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Y'all okay with that? There it is. Wrapped it up. Got it all tidy. Amen. With a bow. We are in spiritual battle. So we can't fight in the flesh. We have to fight according to the spirit. I want to say that it's too late for me to fight according to the flesh. I've got a little flabby around the waist, gray in the hair. Hair doesn't grow where it used to grow. Even when it grows, it's not the same color. Amen. David said this, the days of our years are 80 years and 10, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is your strength labor and sorrow. For if it is soon cut off, and we fly away, I want to tell y'all it's too late for me to fight according to the flesh. Okay. Get cross for me. I'm going to God. Amen. If you bump into my car, I'm going to pray for you. Amen. That's because I can't fight you anymore. Amen. It's all right. Don't try it, though. I'll pray you all the way back home. I'll pray the gas out your car if I have to. Amen. I pray your license plate into the street. But God has been good to us. Amen. And we fight. Amen. In the spirit. This means to me that I'm way past halfway. I'm way through my 70. Y'all don't know me. I kind of been hanging around a young woman all this time. And y'all think I'm young, but I'm a little bit older than that. But we must go on. We're here in 2 Corinthians. Contrary to his coarse language in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, Paul addresses the Corinthians in a milder tone. Are y'all okay here still? 2 Corinthians tells us that comfort, in 2 Corinthians, Paul tells us several things. He tells us that comfort comes through affliction. Sufficiency comes through insufficiency. Life comes through death. Blessings through suffering. Salvation through grief. Abundance through poverty and boasting through hardship. Chapter 12 then gives the key principle. God's power is made perfect in weakness. Isn't that all right? Weakness is not good in itself, yet it is God's chosen means of displaying his grace and glory and power. And we're still talking about Christian artillery. Just want to make sure that we have it properly. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul introduces the contradiction, the paradox, the pericope of Christian life. He says this at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, beginning at verse 1 down to verse 6. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God toward the pulling down of strongholds, y'all are with me still, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when the obedience is fulfilled. We're still working, my brother, my sister. By pointing to his presence before the Corinthians, Paul may be addressing that section of the audience, and perhaps you are, even as I grow long-winded, that is looking at his crooked frame. He may be concerned about their looking at the weakness of his eyes or his lack of prowess while preaching. Y'all recall this from the book of Acts. On one occasion, while Paul was preaching, a young man sitting up in the window took a little snooze. Alejandro, all right, we got you. Amen. He may have been concerned with that and addressing it, but he quickly dismisses that to point out that as believers, we don't walk according to the flesh. Is that all right? I know Steve is looking at me right now. I want to move over here. Steve is quite intimidating. Y'all get him back there somewhere. Amen. Praise the Lord. We don't walk according to the flesh. We don't live according to the flesh. We don't move according to the flesh. The Bible says that within God, we live and move and have our very being. We should take Paul's example here, church. We are blood washed, fire baptized, born of the water and of the spirit, children of the most high God. We walk by faith and not by sight. Are you here? Paul has said so in Romans chapter 1, and he also addresses his crucifixion with Christ in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Y'all familiar with this? Paul says there, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not I that live, but it's the Christ that lived in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of him that loved me and gave himself for me." Still, my brother, my sister, Zach, is looking at me, and so is Stephen, and so I'm getting long. Amen? And many of you have to get back to the indoctrination of the world's TV shows. You have to get back to its internet. You have to get to its social injustice campaigns. Diversion and exclusion. Is that, y'all got that now? Amen. Hypocritical race theory. I've just come to tell you that God never focused our eyes on the ballot box. Never, ever. Sorry for those of you all that thought that we were going to vote them out. You were wrong about that. For those of y'all that thought that we were going to cry them out, you were wrong about that. And I'm still addressing Christian artillery. Y'all may not have liked that, amen, but even now while we are living through these things, my knees are calling me to pray. Is that all right? Still, Paul gets to the point of acknowledging that we are in a war and letting us know that Christian artillery isn't like any other. First, he says that it's not carnal. Can we just say that as Christians, we are not concerned with the destruction of the flesh or what injury to flesh brings? Carnal weapons are ineffective. But Paul says our weapons are mighty through God. Oh, I want to talk about Christian artillery more, but let's move on. Paul says that our weapons are mighty through God toward the pulling down of strongholds. Do y'all remember Jericho? The children of Israel were instructed to march around Jericho. They were not told to launch boulders. They were not told to throw bricks. They were not told to light fires, but they were told to march around Jericho. My brother and my sister, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God toward the pulling down of strongholds. Can I tell you a little bit about Jericho? Jericho was surrounded by an earthen rampart, an embankment. With a stone retaining wall at its base. The retaining wall was some 4 or 5 meters, 12 to 15 feet high. On top of that was a mud brick wall, 2 meters, 6 feet, and about six to eight meters high. At the crest of the embankment was a similar mud brick wall whose base was roughly 14 meters or 46 feet above the ground level outside the retaining wall. The walls of Jericho were a stronghold. The inhabitants of Jericho thought that they were safe. When the children of God started marching around the walls of Jericho, and bless God, when they blew the shofar, the Jerichoites, yeah, we just came up with that one, had no idea what the shofar was blowing for. They did not understand our preaching. They did not understand our God. They did not understand how he moves. They weren't instructed to push against the wall, but they were instructed to march around the wall 7 times on the last day to blow the shofar. My brother and my sister, the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. They came tumbling down. Or can I remind you of what our brother Butch was talking about last week in regard to the confrontation between the children of Israel and those Philistines? Y'all remember this? Y'all remember what Butch was talking about? Y'all remember how vehemently he spoke with us in regard to the giants that we have to face? We've got to face giants.
But can I interject this one more time before I do take my seat? And Stephen says, hallelujah. And that against the giants of the dysfunction of our world today, God is not instructing us to launch rockets. That against the dysfunction and the wickedness and the darkness of our world, God is not instructing us to vote. God is not calling on us to align ourselves with a party, nor to decide whether or not we're liberal or conservative. God is calling us to exercise our Christian responsibility and take up Christian artillery. We've confused ourselves. Certainly, Goliath thought that this little boy must have lost his entire mind. You know what it's like to lose your entire mind? It looks something like this. Goliath must have thought there's no way in the entire world that this little boy has what it takes to knock me out. Can I remind you that Goliath came out there with carnal weapons? Can I remind you that he didn't even get to take them up? Can I remind you that they were completely ineffective against the child of God? Are we saying this right, guys? I just want to be right when we leave out of here. I just want to live holy. Amen. I just want to live righteous. Amen. I want to do the right thing. I want to say the right thing. I want to cut it right. I want to be straight about it. Amen. And I don't want to resort to things that Satan might use in and about us. Amen. Saying to turn his weapons against him, but I want to use the weapons that God has placed within our arsenal. Can I remind you that David reminded Goliath that you took up all these implements and you got all of this stuff and you're big and you're tall, but I've come against you in the name of the Lord. We need to, amen, take that one to the bank, amen, when our concern for our balance, amen, has risen above reasonable. We need to tell the bank and our creditors, amen, that I've come against you in the name of the, am I talking to in a way that somebody can understand this? We need to go down to that job that threatens us, amen, with losing our employment. That I've not come here because of my own desire. My seat wasn't planted behind your decks because I felt like it. I came here in the name of the Lord God. Do we understand that the place that we are in today, the Bible says this, and I'm just going to keep it scriptural, right? The Bible says that the steps of a good man, what about the Lord? And so if you call yourself a good man, you got to be in a place where God has guided you. There's no way whatsoever that you can overpower him. Can I put it in the words of an R&B group from a long time ago? He's so high that you can't get a look over him. He's so wide that you can't get around him. He's so low that you can't get under him. Oh, he's not just knee deep. He's totally deep. Amen. He's much more, amen, than we can ever imagine. And let me get back to this word, amen, for you, my brother and my sister. We've come all of this way these last 3 years trying to use everything that we could possibly use within our own senses to make it through. Amen. But God is calling us to exercise something else. This is what the scripture has said over here at Ephesians chapter 6. And I just want to tell y'all, amen, when you go home, make sure you got your weapons ready. We're coming into a time, amen, where the Christian has to take up armaments. Am I right about it? Am I right about it? It's getting darker and darker each and every day. And we are thinking that the world's going to return back to what we would like it to be. But the truth of the matter is that this world won't be right until Jesus comes. This is what the scripture says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day. This is the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance supplication for the saints. And for me, Paul says, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Can I just close out with this and say to you, there was a long time ago in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, a little black boy that was raised in a neighborhood that nobody knew about. Amen. I can tell you that there's only one person here that knows a struggle, amen, that I grew up in. Only one person knows how amazed I am to be alive today. There's only one person in this room that ever saw me take my popsicle stick, put it down beside the curb during the rain, and watch my ship go all the way around the block. That's Sister Benita. But I got to tell you this, down at Morris Brown AME Church, We used to sing a song, and I just want to teach y'all this song really quickly. The song said, I may never march in the army. I may never shoot the artillery. I may never. Y'all here with me, amen? Y'all know about that? But I'm in the Lord's army. Isn't that all right, y'all? See, the Lord's army doesn't hand you a canteen. In the Lord's army, they don't give you a canteen to drink from. In the Lord's army, they give you the water of the Spirit. Oh, y'all ain't in here with me. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. Oh, what did you drink today? Spirit. Why are you still out here fighting? Because I drink of the Spirit and I'll never thirst again. Oh, y'all ain't in here with me. Hallelujah. This is it. And we go home. There's giants in the land. There's giants in the land. And they're boisterous. They're ignorant. And they're arrogant. I like to go to my trunk. I got 66 books. Listen, locked and loaded. God bless y'all. The Bible says this, that God commends his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you've been here with us today, we're not drunk with the wine of this world. Amen. I know we seem a little bit foolish. Amen. But we're full of the Spirit. If you've been here today and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I can tell you this. I know why you're anxious. I know why you're concerned with this world. Because you have not experienced the great exchange that happened on the cross of Calvary. When Jesus Christ chose not to rail against those who were crucifying him, but instead he chose to die on the cross of Calvary. He was wounded
for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we were healed. If you haven't experienced this newness of life, I understand why you may not even want to go out of the house some days. I understand that the anger and the rancor that happens in the television and the social media. I completely understand your concern with whether or not I'm going to turn my TV set on or off. And I completely understand your concern with the war that's not only in the streets but in our classroom. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of this world, amen, in high places, amen. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty, amen. Y'all see that? They're not carnal. And so what Paul is saying is that the weapons of secular warfare, right, aren't mighty at all. What he's suggesting is, yeah, that stuff, but these ones are mighty. God has given you all that you need. Somebody in the middle of your trial this week, call on Jesus. Somebody in, you're reading the newspaper or hearing some new report of some nation who is rising up against another nation. Y'all worried about Ukraine and Russia? Don't be. Don't be. Y'all worried about the encroachment of critical race theory in our schools? Don't be. Is that all right? Can I just say don't be? That's all a trick. It's all Satan. And as long as you are worried about it, he has got you fooled. The word of God says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things. Can I tell y'all that? All means all, and that's all there is. But in all things, with prayer and supplication.
Y'all forgot Thanksgiving. I forgot to tell them thanks today. Amen.
With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and then the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Why am I not worried about critical race theory? I'm in Jesus. Amen. Why am I not worried about Ukraine and Russia? I'm in Jesus. Why am I not worried about the United States telling nations of Africa what they should do about their laws to do evil things? Because I'm in Jesus. Why am I not worried about my son who's attending schools that have decided not to teach children anymore, but rather to indoctrinate them? Because I'm in Jesus. He's all that I need. God bless you. May heaven's upon you.